لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome to the program Tawheed in the Creation, looking at the book The Big Bang, The Amazing Human Body with Bilhassan Imani. And this evening we will be continuing looking at the heavenly bodies. Now last week we spoke about the stars and we went in depth with what exactly they are, and tonight we'll be reflecting on galaxies and trying to understand what galaxies are, and we'll be looking at the Milky Way as such. Now when we talk about the Milky Way, we're not talking about dairy. So we're talking about a cluster of planets, a cluster of stars, an entire, if we can call it, ecosystem in a sense. Joining me, Bilhassan Imani. Bilhassan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Fasih. Once again, it's a great pleasure for me to be here. Let's hope it will be a very constructive session for all of us, inshallah.
Inshallah, I mean. Now, Bilhassan, as I alluded to in my introduction, we're speaking about the Milky Way this evening, and we're referring to it as a cluster of heavenly bodies, stars, and meteorites, and all of those things. So that's at least my understanding. What exactly do we refer to when we use the term Milky Way? And where do we as Earth, planet Earth, factor in this concept of the Milky Way?
Muhammad Fasih, the name the Milky Way doesn't have a very exciting, elaborate explanation. In the olden days, when people looked up into the sky, they saw this band of stars in the sky that looked like milk. It had a milky appearance, and it was called from then on as the Milky Way. It was discovered that we form part of this galaxy called the Milky Way. That is our home galaxy. There are billions, several billions of galaxies in the universe. This one particular galaxy, which is our own home galaxy, is referred to as the Milky Way. Now, the Milky Way is a spiral-shaped galaxy, the same as what I alluded to last week when I said you take this firecracker and you stick something in the middle and stick it to a tree or a piece of wood, you light it up and it turns around and shoots out these little sparks and stuff, and all the children shout and get excited. Our Milky Way looks like that. Now, a Milky Way the spiral galaxy, has the shape of almost like a fan, which has, I don't know, three or four arms on it. Now, we are in one of the arms of the spiral-formed galaxy of ours. And, yes.
But aside, so when we talk about the Milky Way and sort of like a spiral, so is this also in rotation? Is this also in orbit? Or is this a stationary installation, if I can call it that?
The thing to mention first is that it's not just spiral. It's a flat, almost like a disc. It almost looks like a disc. In fact, the more I think about this pinwheel firecracker, it's very much like that. Yes. It also spins amazingly. We look at the stars out there and we see the Milky Way. The Milky Way is, in fact, also in an orbit. We know our sun, our Earth orbits the sun. But our sun is also in orbit. The Milky Way is in orbit. In fact, everything in creation is in an orbit. The atoms are in orbit. The electrons orbit the center. That idea of things orbiting around the center is a feature of our entire universe.
And I want to replace the word orbit with tawaf. And I'm just going to leave it there.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Think of that. Think of that. We'll come back to that point when we speak about the earth at some point. So the thing about the Milky Way, without becoming too technical about it, is that it's extremely, extremely large. Because now we're talking about a galaxy, and a galaxy is made up of several different stars, each star with its own planets, each planet with its own moons and debris, space debris that orbits these stars. There are, from the latest calculation, and people have come up with different figures, there's roughly about 200 billion stars in our Milky Way. Some people say 100 billion, but what's the difference between 100 and 200 billion? So when we speak more than a million, then our minds are already overloaded. But can you imagine? Our Milky Way is made up of billions of stars. And our star, the Sun, is one small star within that entire Milky Way. And the Milky Way, if you were to measure it, and they did measure it, the distance from one end to the other of this flat spiral disc shaped galaxy is 100,000 light years. Now, we've probably forgotten what's the distance of a light year. Can you remember, Fasih?
Well, if my calculations are correct, one light year is equal to 9.5 trillion kilometers.
Subhanallah. No, Fasih has made sure, in case I ask questions, that he remembers that. But subhanallah, he's right. He's right. If one light year is 9.5 trillion kilometers, one light year, and we say the diameter of our Milky Way is 100,000 light years. 100,000 light years. It means you must take 100,000 and multiply it by 9.5 trillion, and then you'll find out how really big the Milky Way really is. Subhanallah.
I don't think anyone owns a calculator that wide. The voice of Bedesadi Mani. This is the program Tawheed and the Creation. This evening, looking at the idea of the Milky Way, and we are exploring galaxies, and we could be looking at the solar system, or our solar system, after the break. Stay tuned to VOC 91.3 FM.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to the program Tawheed and the Creation with Bedesadi Mani, looking at the book The Big Bang, The Amazing Human Body. Before the break, we explored what the Milky Way is, what a galaxy is, and now we will be looking at the term the solar system. And we've heard this mentioned many times in science programs. If we read the magazines like Popular Mechanics, we'll see it there, and also in movies sometimes, especially sci-fi films when they're traveling through space. But Asali, what exactly do we refer to when we say the solar system?
Well, we get a clue when we use the word solar. Solar refers to the sun. So we say solar power, the power that comes from the sun. So the solar system is the system that describes the sun and the planets that revolve and orbit around the sun. Now, there are nine planets. Some people say Pluto is not a planet, and now they say there's eight planets, but be that as it may, it refers to the planetary system with the sun in the center. And if we remember right at the beginning, we spoke about the atoms are very similar to our solar system. There's a center. The center is the sun. And in the case of the atom, that would be the nucleus. And let me not go back into that. But yes, the solar system describes our sun with its nine planets. Let me stick to nine planets for now. Now, one of the things that we have also recently only discovered, it's amazing how many things we've only recently discovered, that science discovered. The sun is in an orbit of its own. Yes, the sun, like the earth, orbits the sun. The sun also orbits the center of the Milky Way. Now, a sun year, for the sun to orbit the center of the Milky Way, takes the equivalent of 220 Earth years. So if within 220 years of our time, the sun would have made one complete orbit around the center of the Milky Way. And we must remember the sun is part of the Milky Way. So the center of the Milky Way acts as almost as the sun acts towards the earth. But the astounding fact about the sun, as it orbits, goes at the phenomenal speed of 800,000 kilometers per hour. That very sun, if you go out tomorrow morning and you look up into the sky, that sun that you are seeing, okay, it takes maybe a good couple of hours to move from one side to the other. That's not the speed that we are talking about. We're talking about the sun, along with its planets, are moving at the phenomenal speed of 800,000 kilometers per hour. Your mind switches off, because if we talk about jets and aeroplanes, we're talking about probably 700-800 kilometers per hour. Can we imagine that the sun is actually moving at that speed? But it's not just the sun on its own. We must remember that the planets are almost attached to the sun through gravity. So as the sun is moving, so we are moving along with the sun at this enormous speed of 800,000 kilometers. What do you think about that, Fasih?
Well, I think only recently I watched this program on YouTube, and they were talking about scientists having discovered gravitational waves. And I think perhaps we'll come to this in a later stage. But Islam describes the swimming of these bodies in orbit. And those gravitational waves act, in my opinion, as an ocean. So I find it profound that not only are the planets swimming around the sun, but the sun itself is swimming in its own orbit. SubhanAllah.
The Quran says exactly that, Muhammad Fasih. In verse 38, and I quote what the Quran says, "And the sun runs to a term appointed for it. That is the decree of the Almighty, the All-Knowing." A term appointed, in other words, it runs through a cycle which it doesn't deviate from. In other places, it refers to the sun and the moon are in orbit, and we will come to the specific ayah where this is referred to. So the fact that the sun is in an orbit, the Quran also speaks about. So, but let me go on. The first four planets that we have are different from the other four. And when I say the first four that are the closest to the sun. Now, you'll have to go back to your old science books to remember. But I'll quickly run through it. The one closest to the sun is called Mercury. Then you get Venus. And then you get the Earth, which is the third planet. And then you get Mars. Those first four planets are made up of rock and metal. Its construction is different from the sun. What I have to say about the sun is made up. I'm going to come back to this point about the four planets because I forgot to mention something earlier. The sun, if you look up at the sun, is made up only mainly of gas. It's not rock. It's not solid. It's mainly made up of gas. It's made up mainly of hydrogen and some helium. And the nuclear reaction that we spoke about earlier causes the sun to generate all that energy. And the difference between the sun and the earth is the sun is not solid and made up of rock, but the first four planets are entirely different from the construction of the sun itself.
So, just reiterating that then, so we're saying that the sun itself is not a solid object. It's not like a planet with its crust, its surface. It is actually a ball of gas. And that ball of gas, not only is it providing heat and light, obviously the Earth being shielded as the third planet from the sun from its intense rays, from its intense heat through the ozone and all the other layers and the radiation of the sun, but also this ball of gas, this giant ball of gas, is also traveling in its own orbit. Subhanallah,
you see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We miss out on these things if we say Allah is the creator of the sun. What does that mean? We see the sun, Allah is the creator. How does that actually strengthen your iman? But when you look at the sun as an object there in the sky that's playing the most important function to the planet Earth, without the sun there will be no Earth. It supplies us not just with heat, but with all the energy that we require, we get from the sun. And when we hear these facts of how the sun actually produces the energy and the heat that we get here, then we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works and how Allah has created the sun. And you marvel at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. That's different from just saying Allah created the sun. Now we see the other sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at play, which we will come to later on when we say the power of Allah. Al-Qadir, the all-powerful. But let me just come back to the planets, because we're talking about our solar system. We'll come back to the sun. So the first four planets are rock-like substances and metal, various types of metal. They are made up of that. And the chances of us finding life on a rock-like planet is much easier than finding possible life on the other planets, because the other four planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, are gas giants. They're almost like made up of the same kind of material that the sun is made up of. So they don't have a solid structure and form like the planet Earth. That's why when people talk about the Martians and going to the planet Mars and all of that, there's the assumption that there is some form of life, because it, although it's a lot more intense in heat and the conditions are quite different, but the chances of life there is much more likely there than it what would be on any of the other planets.
Looking at that, again, the stability of the sun in an environment where there are so many different heavenly bodies floating around, the sun follows its orbit, it never gets knocked off from its orbit, it never deviates from the path that it has been assigned to it. Similarly, the planets orbit the Earth on a degree that is so accurate that should it be out by a degree left or right towards or away from the sun, that the Earth would either fry or it would freeze as a result, and no life could be sustained on this planet. So when we say that, then, when we look at that level of perfection in terms of maintaining this balance, doesn't that suggest to us, again, for those people who doubt the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not believe that He is a creator, does that then not put an extreme challenge to them, that there is so much order in all of these things, that certainly there must be a creator behind it, maintaining it, allowing for the system to continue in the way that it has for millions of years?
Muhammad Fasih, if we talk about a few degrees or even a few million degrees or even a few billion degrees in the rest of the universe, for us it would be neither here nor there. But the sun has to keep that exact temperature. That exact temperature must be maintained for the entire life of the sun if we were to still have the planet Earth functioning as a planet. Now, do you know how hot the sun is? on a hot day, we say, oh, the sun is very hot today. How many degrees is hot for you? 40 degrees is very hot. And in Makkah, subhanallah, it was so hot, it almost reached 50. The sun operates at its core a temperature of 15 million degrees Celsius.
Whoa.
Now, 15 million degrees Celsius is extremely hot. Okay, but it's the sun. We expect it to be hot. It's far away for that heat to still reach us here, where we can feel the effect of 50 degrees Celsius. Okay, so maybe that's not a mind-boggling fact. But what is mind-boggling is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintains that temperature of the sun for its entire existence while the earth needs to be in existence. Because if that temperature deviates, we have big problems on the earth. Now, how old is the sun? The sun is 5 billion years old.
Subhanallah.
Now, for 5 billion years, it's been a star. And what has it been using to generate that light as a star? Hydrogen and helium gas. How much hydrogen and helium gas has been used for the past 5 billion years?
And it's not like there's a planet that rocks up and says, okay, let me fill you up with hydrogen and helium.
There's no super tanker out there to say, okay, you've run out of gas, let me give you some extra gas, and then when you run out of that, you give some more gas. It has been running on its own internal power for 5 billion years. Now, let me give you another astounding fact. How much gas is being used every second?
Subhanallah.
Every single second for the existence of the sun for the past 5 billion years, it uses every second, eh? Remember I said every second. Don't forget. 600 million tons of gas.
Whoa.
Think about it from your gas tanky and think of, what are we talking about? 5 kgs or 10 kgs.
I think it was 600 million tons of gas. We would never have a problem with load shedding because the food would always be prepared, subhanAllah, for the couple of centuries.
600 million tons of gas. Not for 5 billion years, every second. You have to take 600 million and multiply it for the amount of seconds that you have in 5 billion years. I don't even want to do that calculation. So the sun is a fantastic sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that scientists have discovered how much power, they should actually sit back and look at this and say, subhanallah, we must believe that there is a creator behind all of this. Now the other amazing fact that's linked to the sun, where does that energy come from? Where does it come from, all of that energy? 600 million tons every second comes from the fusion of the nucleus of the atom. The neutron inside the atom, when you have that fusion, it causes a nuclear reaction, and that's where the power comes from. And where do the atoms come from? The atoms come from that original one single spark that we had right at the beginning. And we're only talking about the sun. Can you remember how many stars there are in the Milky Way, just our Milky Way?
And we imagine that some of the stars might even be hotter than the sun.
Yes. The sun is considered a cold star. The sun is considered a cold star. So can you imagine how much power there is in the universe? And the sun is one of 200 billion stars just in the Milky Way. That's one galaxy. One galaxy has 200 billion stars. The sun is one of those. And I've told you how much power the sun consumes every single second. Subhanallah.
The voice of Abu Dasani Mani. This is the program Tawheed and the Creation. Tonight, looking again at the book The Big Bang, The Amazing Human Body, and exploring for now our sun and the amazing facts around the sun. When we come back after the break, we will continue. Stay tuned.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The program Tawheed and the Creation with Asali Mani. And tonight, again, looking at the book The Big Bang, The Amazing Human Body. We've been exploring the amazing facts around the sun. And something very interesting that Asali mentioned, that the sun is considered in our galaxy to be a cold star. So we are saying that there are suns, there are other stars that are even hotter than the sun that we see in the sky when we look up in the mornings.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the stars fall in different categories. You get a cool or cold star, then you get the medium ones, and then you get the super hot ones. Our sun is considered a cold star. It's only at its core, it's only 15 million degrees Celsius. There are other stars that's as hot as billions of degrees. So our sun is quite cold compared to what's going on out there in the rest of the universe. But one of the other important points to note here is we said the sun, the age of the sun, our sun, is 5 billion years. Scientists have established that the sun has gone through half of its life. So there's another 5 billion years left. And if we used up so much power that sun still has so much potential power because it's only halfway through its lifespan. The other thing that we probably have learned and many of us know about is the distance of the Earth to the Sun is 150 million kilometers. And what we ought to remember is that even though light travels at a phenomenal speed, we said 300,000 kilometers per second, sunlight actually takes 8 minutes to reach the Earth. So if we look at the sun, it's already set and we still see the light reaching our eyes 8 minutes, and yet the sun is set. So the fact that the light of the sun takes 8 minutes means that we are 8 minutes out. I'm not saying you must go and adjust the time you go and make salah now. We stick to our salah timetables like we do. But the reality is that sunlight takes 8 minutes from the sun to actually reach our planet Earth. The other thing that I think is perhaps worthwhile mentioning is that Allah actually predicts that the sun will come to an end in the Quran. Many people thought in the past, and even now scientists weren't sure until they've discovered that it's gone halfway through its lifespan, but there was a view at some point in the past where they felt that the sun will just go on and on and on and on. But Allah says in the Quran, and I quote in verse 81:1, it will shrink and become a compressed and condensed ball. Here the Quran actually describes the way scientists describe exactly how a star, when it dies, it will shrink and become a compressed, condensed ball of fire. The Quran actually explains that in that kind of detail, which is another miracle of the Quran. So if we want to look for miracles, we'll find it all over if we were just to open our eyes and see Allah's greatness and majesty. But I would advise the listeners, when they look up to the sun, to reflect on some of this information and do your own research about the sun. Don't only listen to this program. Go and Google it, look up, read up on the matter, because the sun is the one thing that's visible to us every single day. And it should be a reminder of Allah's greatness as one of Allah's great signs that we are basically in touch with on a daily basis. And inshallah, with the next program, we will try and go to the planet Earth and explain about the significance and the miracles of the planet Earth and how everything has come. So we've gone a long way. We've come from a single spot of energy to atoms to the forces and then to stars and to galaxies, and we've come to the Milky Way, our own sun, and now we're gonna just about, hopefully with the next program, come to our planet Earth and look at the miracles and the signs in our own planet, inshallah.
And in wrapping up, Badassani, again, all of these things, all of this order, the sun that is a ball of gases, the fact that the Earth rotates around the sun and the planets, but yet the sun is also performing its own orbit, all of these things with the view that all of this order came into existence after the Big Bang, after this amazing event, and everything following on from that, following on from the energy of the Big Bang, following from the formation, comes back to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set these things out right at the beginning, and we only see the order playing out today in our lifetime.
Yeah, Muhammad Fasih, we said it right at the beginning. It's worthwhile repeating. that for Allah to do things, Allah merely says, kun, be. It doesn't mean that once the whatever Allah has created, it now runs independently on its own. That instruction of kun, for it to be, is its entire existence. Everything that has to do with the existence of that specific thing, including this universe, has been contained in the divine command and instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nothing in the entire universe acts outside of that divine command. It's been covered. Every single movement, stillness, happening has been covered as part of that divine instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But Asali, as always we say, we've covered a lot of ground this evening, and we look forward to continuing the discussion next week, inshallah. I'd like us to reflect on the sun a little bit more. I think there's still so much we can cover, and inshallah, also reflecting on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and particularly Al-Qadir, the all-powerful. We spoke about potential power in the form of an atom which exists all around us. The universe and the world is made up of those atoms. So we'll look at the owner of all power.
Subhanallah. Inshallah, inshallah. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the ability to be here.
Amen.
So that we can touch on one of the great sifat and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I look forward to us dealing with this aspect, inshallah, because we've been speaking science and science and science. We must try and pull all of these things together so that hopefully that will assist us to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better, inshallah.
Inshallah. And shukran so much, Budasari, for joining us this evening. And inshallah, we look forward to next week. I mean.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Muhammad Fasih, and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And from myself, Muhammad Fasih Peterson, until I speak to you again, inshallah. Abadi wa salam wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And have a fantastic evening.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله